I think this is one of those spots here where, like, I've watched the episode that he did with Nash where they talked about his free agency and the decision that he has, you know, coming up here this summer. One, I don't think you record that episode without looking at the Lakers, the entirety of that recording, right? Like, you know what the response is going to be here if you're LeBron and you record that episode. And it was like the response so far that I've been able to glean is like, all right, we know what that was. But like, if you're LeBron, and if I'm just going to take LeBron at his word, he said to Nash that the 1A, 1B of his priorities is winning and being in a spot that his family is comfortable. So if that's what you're going to tell me in that episode, right? And if that's what you're going to clip, remember his like podcast company sent that out as a clip. So if that's what you're going to tell me that you are the most focused on, and the Lakers could land Giannis Antetokounmpo and then potentially starters beyond that using their exceptions, and that features you accepting a minimum, like that is what he's been like. He was willing to take a pay cut so long as that pay cut went somewhere, that, you know, when he floated that idea out there, when his representation floated that idea out there. And here again, like, all right, we got Luka, you got Giannis, you got, I think Austin would take a little bit less in this scenario as well. His representation has been kind of saying, and even he is on the record, Austin is saying, it doesn't have to be every single penny of my max, mm-hmm. you know, in order to make the, I really want to be in Los Angeles. I really want to win. And so like, if you like right now, the conversation with LeBron is going to be basically, look, first they're going to renounce his rights sometime soon. And they're going to, and then when they do so, they're going to have a conversation with him and they're going to say, look, this is what Golden State can pay you. This is what Cleveland can pay you. This is what New York can pay you. And this is what their teams would look like if you went to them on a min level. And this is what their team would look like if you went to them on a minimum. And then, and like, same thing here with the Lakers. This is what our roster would look like with you at 25 million. This is what our roster would look like with you with 14.7 million. And this is what our roster would look like with you at the minimum. And the way that you have that conversation in the most meaningful way is to be like, one of these iterations features Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, and like, if I'm LeBron and my options are as whittled down to the extent that they are, that's the situation I look for. They did their work. The Lakers did their work. Like what the Lakers have always had to do is basically have the best offseason they can and then tell LeBron, are you interested? Mm-hmm. And this would be that, like, this, I think, like, trading for Giannis would get LeBron the most interested in that hypothetical. What do you think?
I think it's possible. I don't think LeBron ever wants to be the Vince Carter coming off of the bench and spotting up as the not super important player on the team, right? That I do mm-hmm. wonder if they sign Giannis, if there's a certain amount of too many cooks in the kitchen type of deal. The ceiling of that group is monstrous. There's also the like running back on defense. Like there would be some obnoxious regular season games with Giannis, Luka, and LeBron all on the same team. By the way, on that front, my biggest hesitation regarding Giannis is actually personality wise. If you actually followed his day-to-day career, half the shit he's pulled in Milwaukee and done, I don't know if you saw the recent.
Yeah, he moves Miles sideways.
He's like one of the biggest divas in the NBA that frankly, that's one of the like biggest, like, sure, you want to add that to this and trade our picks. It's one of the more convincing arguments to me. I think the basketball arguments,
I think
so too. Yeah. And so all of that that goes with that, he'd have to like come and have, you were talking about like his mentality of like setting screens, and I, even to put it more generally, like just a sort of buy-in at the front end of it of like, hell yeah, let's join Luka. We're going to make this work. That I think you'd need that on the front end to really get behind it. But yeah, like I agree on the LeBron front that is a compelling for the most part. I do wonder if being, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen or not one of the main guys. If that's
too many headliners.
Yeah, too many headliners. That's a better way of putting it, that he would not want that. And then I'm never going to assume, like, LeBron is worth more than the salaries that we're talking about here. And I understand
he's
that we all...
More, he's been worth more than every salary he's ever made.
Sure. Yes, yes. But this is a whole different ball of wax, right? Yeah. That we're talking about, that while what you're saying, I agree for the most part, I would not begrudge LeBron for being like, hell no, I'm not going to play for that. I'm worth more than that, right? And if I am going to play for that, it's going to be somewhere of my own choosing. That said, if he wants to be like comfortable and in a place that he can win, Lakers might have, I don't want to say have him backed into a corner or anything like that, but
yeah,
like they can check a lot of boxes for LeBron without kind of giving into whatever he wants. But yeah. I could see LeBron be like, fuck that. I gave you guys this much and this is how you're going to treat me. Like, I'm not going to sign here on general principle. I would totally understand that if he felt that way.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, you know, how long were they running out the string while he was literally like, he had father time and like the head, you know, like, and on that principle, if I were LeBron, I'd be like, no, man, I'm going to Golden State and you have to deal with my ass next year, you know? But like, I don't know. Same time, honestly, this is why I've always kind of thought it was either the retire or the Lakers. Because like, all right, the Cavs are in there, you know, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. The amount of work that they would have to do just to be able to open up the mid-level for LeBron, are they interested in doing that? Do they want to sign and trade Jared Allen for LeBron to be able to pay LeBron at the number that you know, he is like the closest to the number that he's probably worth next season? Maybe. Does Dan Gilbert want to just once and for all admit that the only reason that he ever had any kind of a competitive organization was because of that dude? Like, maybe. Does LeBron want to give Dan Gilbert a year's worth of, you know, farewell tour revenue? I don't know. Like, and then, you know, you talk about like headliners, the headliner of all headliners you could play with would be Steph Curry up there in Golden State. Like, we saw what that did to Kevin Durant, you know, and like Steve Kerr is now kind of on like his extended farewell tour with the contract that he signed. Does LeBron want to participate in that? So I've always thought that it's like, it's either he retires or he goes, you know, returns to the Lakers next year. I don't see with like the brand awareness that he has that he would ever play for the JV team in the Clippers. I just don't see that.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if he played there. Yeah.
Especially on the other side of the aspiration stuff. Like, I'm not going to help you resuscitate your image on $14 million a year. But like same time, he's a very prideful dude. He's always known what he's worth. He's always, like I said, played even his max contracts where he was taking a pay cut to operate on a max contract in his prime. Could he just say, yeah, I have something left to give the game, but I don't want to give what I have to the game at a fraction of what I'm actually worth? Could he walk away for that reason? Honestly, I think I would respect the shit out of that. Just be like, no, I'm worth more.
Do you think there's a chance he retires?
I think so. Like if he sits down with Rich Paul and, you know, all of his Clutch people, and like Clutch employs a cap guru, right? And like LeBron and Clutch, they're gonna get together, and I'm sure they've run through the hypotheticals of what these teams are gonna be able to offer LeBron. And if LeBron has that conversation and says, wait, I'm gonna be on the mid-level anywhere I go, basically, unless I go to like fucking Brooklyn, you know, I could see him saying, I'm good, man. Mm. And I would also say that would suck for me as a basketball fan, for like NBA fans in general. Like, it would suck that he had been kind of backed into that corner, but like, he's a prideful enough guy that I could see him saying, like, you know what? The last everybody saw of me was me single-handedly, you know, we're almost single-handedly beating the fucking Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. Is that like the farewell tour I'm kind of looking for? Hell, the last game that he played in, the Lakers pushed the Thunder to like the brink, you know, and it was with him as the engine of it. Like, that wouldn't be the worst quote unquote farewell tour or whatever. I could see that. What do you think?
I'd be a little surprised just because I don't think that.
I would be too.
Yeah, not, I know you're not saying it's like likely or anything, but yeah, he's had cameras following him around for the last couple of years for documentary that he's shooting. I think he's trying to do his own kind of Last Dance type of thing, yeah. Or at least the Darius was telling me earlier, he's, you know, that the whispers have always been that LeBron doesn't want a full-fledged farewell tour. By the way, that's one thing to consider too in terms of trying to win a championship next year. If LeBron does have a farewell tour, like, that's a weird thing to be going on at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really a team locking in to try to win a title, but also we do a ceremony in every visiting arena. But yeah, like Darius was saying,
at the same time, like, would the Lakers ever not be used to having cameras around? I don't know. Like,
no,
like, of all teams, it would be the Lakers that I think could handle that situation.
I agree. It's just, it's a lot. There's a lot going on, yeah, for the team on a night to night.
Totally. Basis.
If the focus is to win a championship. So yeah, I'd be a little surprised. But I'm also with you in that I don't see where he plays otherwise. But I don't think he's going to make a decision about next year based on money, meaning that, like, I think it's meaningful for him to go out on his terms. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that these were his terms. Like, maybe you can look at it after the fact and be like, well, I wasn't planning on retiring, but, you know, won a playoff series against an old rival in KD, although he only played one game, right? But won without the other two guys. I never had to be that role player, Vince Carter. In fact, the last you saw of me was a number one option on a team that got to the second round, yeah, and fought valiantly against the champs type of thing.
This is like, kind of like an artistic Last Dance, but yeah.
It's nice, but I don't think that's what LeBron
had. I don't think that's what he wants. Yeah. And actually, to your point about like the farewell tour as a potential distraction thing, the Lakers, Sabrina has been tracking this like unofficially, and it's something that she always kind of like chuckles about in our Slack. The Lakers record in games where LeBron breaks a record.
Milestone, and we're terrible.
It's awful.
Terrible.
So like, could it be a full season of milestones? Like, mm-hmm, essentially,
yeah.
I don't know if I want to sign up for covering that, but yeah, I don't know. I the LeBron thing, you know, I think you're absolutely right in the pods and then in texting that we've had back and forth to say that like, he is at a place where, and the league is at a place where it's, he doesn't have the leverage that he has historically had. And what he wants isn't everybody's top priority. I always go back to last season. Remember he opted in, and then Rich Paul gives that statement to ESPN. Then he goes golfing and wears like the home, you know, hat that when he went golfing in Cleveland, and he does the pictures there with in the Cleveland in the Cavs like facility there with the rookies that they had, and there was all of this like speculation, are the Lakers going to trade him, are they going to do that, and while there was that speculation, you know, you talk to people around the league and the response from all of the teams that would have interest was, yeah, we're interested in, of course we're interested in LeBron, but on a buyout as a minimum, like, as you know, and LeBron, at no point in his basketball life has there ever been that, but that has never existed, you know? Yeah. And it's even louder now, right? Like, you know, the Lakers are saying, of course we want LeBron back, right? Rob Blinken saying,
I'm not sure LeBron's ever actually had an actual contract negotiation from a money standpoint, because the rookie salary was already dictated when he was drafted in 2003, and so is the max contract. So it was like, there's never been another time in now the 24th season where it's like, what are we going to pay LeBron? There have been a couple of times like, gosh, can you take less or anything? But just from a like, do you want LeBron? Yes. What are you willing to pay him? Whatever we got, that's always been the answer until now.
Well, even the one time that he took quote unquote less was so that he and Wade and Bosch could make the amount of money that they made. And that was still him dictating the terms of that contract. Right. That was all three of those guys dictating the terms of that contract. This time he's not dictating the terms of his contract, you know? Right. And like, again, like this is where I wish his relationship with the Lakers and Clutch's relationship with the Lakers was a little healthier so that these conversations could go a little smoother. Because again, like, all right, the Lakers with him back at the, we'll say the 25 to 27 million number that I've been throwing out for the last couple of months. Let's say that's running it back. Mm-hmm. LeBron has made it very clear that he doesn't want to be on the run it back Lakers.
You know? We didn't, have enough talent. He said that on that episode too. It's, we weren't outworked. We weren't this or that. We did not have enough talent to win.
Right. And that wasn't, and he didn't mean we didn't have enough talent to win because Luka was hurt.
No.
Like he meant we didn't have enough talent, period.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if you're Rob and the Lakers have their own cap guy too, if you sit him down and you sit Rich Paul down in that meeting and you say, look, theoretically we could pay you $25 million next year, but that means you're on the exact same roster basically that you were on this year. And we didn't have a chance at winning a championship this year, being brutally honest with ourselves. We did not. Mm-hmm. So if you say, all right, but if we have you back at this number, this allows us to get involved in these Giannis conversations. This allows us to get involved in Walker Kessler conversations, Jalen Duren conversations, Peyton Watson conversations, you know, and like, I thought it was notable that LeBron was basically like, yeah, I'm going on vacation this weekend. When we come back, you know, closer to the end of June, as we get closer to the draft, we'll, you know, start to have a conversation about where I'll be at and then make a decision. You know, I think somebody said he said around August, but I took it to mean that his decision is going to be made by draft day.
Yeah, he said between late June and August. So he gave
the whole last month.
That's all, and there's a lot of shit that happens in that month too.
Yeah. And by the way, like, the Lakers technically make this decision first. They have to, Pete, renounce his rights.
Right. Yeah.
If they want to have this conversation about Giannis, if they want to, like, the best sales pitch that they can make to Milwaukee is predicated on renouncing their free agent rights on LeBron, on Rui, and on everybody else that they can make that decision for. And you know, that's one, like, I'm, be a fun day on the internet the day that happens. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of stuff flying. I you know, my only hope, and I say this, I think I probably sound a little naive when I talk about LeBron, because, like, I do truly think the Lakers and he need each other, and maybe that's kind of a naive outlook on the world, this idea that we need each other, because I do think that we do need each other, right? Like, in order to be involved with really cool projects and situations, that is predicated on somebody needing another person and working together to a greater good. And I think here with the Lakers, I think LeBron does care about how Lakers fans will feel about him when it's all said and done. I think the Lakers care that they respect the end of LeBron's tenure here. Yeah, I do think that there's some bullshit that's gone on behind the scenes between LeBron and Rob and Jeannie and Clutch and all that stuff. There is some of that stuff going on there. But at the end of the day, like, I think Darius put it really well on your podcast, your guys' LeBron podcast, which I thought was really good. Go through any number of hypotheticals where you're building out the Lakers roster next year. Do that without LeBron James and try to make the Lakers better. And I don't think you can. I don't think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And now with that reality, and now you bring Giannis into this conversation. Yes, that is a lot of headliners. And on any given night, the focus could be LeBron's retirement tour and Giannis's, you know, trying to get back into that superstar conversation that I think he's kind of fallen out of, right? Like, whenever we talk about best players in the league, it's kind of a Jokic, Shea, Luka conversation. And Giannis is kind of around there fourth. I think he belongs in that conversation. He's going to be working to get back into that conversation next year. And then you also have, like, you know, the Lakers actually vying for a championship. So it would be really tricky. It'd be really interesting. I'd have a lot of fun covering it. But that to me is, like, where I think this should probably be heading.
Yeah. No, I think that's likely the case.
All right. I have this episode flew by. My bad. I'm 5 minutes over with you. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out here?
No. Just had the great season on Offside and LFR Pod when you get a chance. But yeah, man, looking forward to this summer. Get out. Look, we have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. Pete always downplays it, but LFR is the only like appointment viewing, listening that I have. And you guys really need to check it out.
I appreciate that, man. We got some questions.
No, I think we're, yep. I don't think, I didn't see any supers over the course of the show. So, like, you know, right. Somebody at the very top, Pete has been team Giannis all year anyway. So, I think people are kind of surprised. We didn't really hit on as much, like, why Lakers fans are a little nervous about this.
Let's maybe talk we'll about back that. To that I got a few minutes if you got time, but yeah.
What do you think it is? Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's a few things. I think it's feeling burned by the Russ trade. It's also like when you consolidate all your eggs in one basket, you are one injury away. What if we have another year like we had this year where one of them are always hurt? It's a great three-star team on paper, but if you're a two-star team in actuality all year because one of them is always hurt, like you're just a below-average two-star team in some ways because you don't have all the depth that most of those teams normally have as well. So I think that's a part of it. I do think that the Milwaukee and how it went with Dame and Giannis is a part of it. I think the pick and roll thing is something I actually feel fairly passionate about because I do think that a lot of people kind of view it through that lens and like Giannis isn't going to be that. He doesn't want to be that. I just don't think that's as important. I also think that people are extremely risk averse. And this is something that's true in sports and otherwise is that there is a certain amount of safety in the, let's just get a couple of solid guys and save up for our kids' college fund and just live like invest in low yield IRAs that, you know what I'm saying? Like it's this mentality of like saving up for retirement and stable, like be good. But that's one of the things I'm actually worried about is I heard a phrase recently from a Lakers person of sustainable competitiveness and describing this era. We were talking about the draft reforms and all of that, right? And how like there's a certain amount of, oh yeah, OKC and San Antonio, I'll save up all these fucking picks. And then the NBA kicks the ladder out from everybody else. So they get to get the benefit from
guys.
While everybody else.
Yeah,
thanks. Exactly. Right. And they referred to it as that era of like being sustainably competitive. I don't want to be sustainably competitive where we're winning 55 games every year and losing in the second round. I want a championship. And if that means that we got to take some risks, it almost certainly means we have to take some risks is considering that we don't have those draft picks. We don't have that young capital. You have to be able to find that depth. I'm not saying that you can just have those three guys and roll the ball out there and have trash depth. Right. But I think it's a mix of all of that. And I think a lot of it's valid, right? I don't think that.
This
get Giannis.
There's no imbalanced opinion on this.
I don't think being against this is, but I do feel pretty strongly in that idea that Lakers need a really high end front court player that when Giannis is staring you in the face, it's hard to not be like, well, what about that guy? You know what I mean? Especially when he can bring a level of defensive, not on every play, but you go watch the Lakers Milwaukee game. I think it was the first game this year that we lost in the clutch. We were like 23-0 or something like that. And then Giannis locked up Luka on one play, locked up LeBron on another play down the stretch, and it was game over. And so having a front court player that can do that, but also has a defensive ceiling, he just checks so many boxes of what I think we need. He's a talk about a shot in the arm in terms of athleticism and just like force. That we really lack otherwise when you watch us compared to these other top teams that I understand the arguments against it. I think there's like a dozen different ways to fuck it up if you do it, but I think it's got the highest ceiling.
I look at this kind of like sitting down at a blackjack table, you know? And so essentially when you walk into a casino, I went over this with Harrison, but when you walk into a casino, there's basically like three outcomes, right? You can go in there and you can hit it big and you can have the time of your life and your room gets comped and it's incredible. And you go back there thinking that you're going to do that next time too. Then on the other end of the spectrum, there's a world where you go in there, you put it all on black and there it goes and your time is done. And then what happens to the vast majority of people though, when they walk into a casino is that you walk in and from the moment that you walk in there, you bleed money. And it's just a matter of getting out of there before you bleed out. And I like the way that I kind of look at blackjack is I try to get as much money on the table as I possibly can and in advantageous situations as quickly as possible. And I sit down at a blackjack table and I want to get up quickly because the longer that I'm at that table, statistically speaking, the more money I'm going to lose.
And that's going to catch up to you. Yeah.
Right. And so like, I think right now the Lakers, if we continue with this blackjack analogy, I think the Lakers find themselves with 11 going up against like an 8, right? And you're not probably supposed to double down against an 8 that's showing when the dealer's showing 8. You're probably supposed to just hit and just play this thing out and see how it's going. But I'm of the opinion here where it's like, yeah, you could hit and you could, you know, you could hit and you can get a 7 and you can draw to the dealer's 18 and you live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. But like nobody tells stories about the time that they hit and drew 7 and they tied the dealer. They drew the dealer. That's not, to me, it's like you have Luka Doncic. You are well on your way to in a really good team next year, probably. So to me, I'm like, all right, yeah, the dealer's showing 8. OKC, San Antonio, they're really effing good. Fuck it. Let's double. Let's do this, you know? Or even better, like, you know, so in some casinos, they force you to split aces. Like you just have to, that is like the rule. But like sometimes, all right, you have, let's say you're dealt 2 aces, right? And the dealer has 8. Again, the probably smarter play is just to hit, and you're probably sitting at a solid number almost no matter what you draw. Screw it. I want to split them. I want to double. I want to put as much money on the table here as I can. And then just like, you know, however it plays out, that's how it's going to play out. And to me, like, yeah, the Lakers could just draft some guys and focus on their depth, and they're going to get smarter organizationally. So they're probably going to get more bang for their buck from draft picks over the years and stuff like that. That is a perfectly solid way to go about it. But I don't think anybody's going to like brag to their kids or their grandkids down the road about the time that they watched the Lakers pick somebody at 17 and see who that player turned out to be. No, I'm going to tell my kids about the time that I watched Giannis and Luka and LeBron and Austin try to go take on Victor Wembanyama in like the greatest blackjack game that the NBA could possibly provide us. That's kind of my worldview outlook anyway. And this kind of lends itself specifically for it. It's also why I've busted out of a lot of casinos.
Sure. I was going to say, nobody tells the story of you being broke as shit on the street, thrown out of the casino.
Look, I at least got a free drink.
Yeah.
I think that is the perfect way to end this thing. No, I also think that Giannis has some Dwight Howard to him. And I think Lakers fans are specifically bitten by Dwight Howard in a way that, like, that entire ordeal sucked. And trading for Russell Westbrook sucked. And I think Lakers fans are kind of like, yeah, I don't really want to go through that again. I understand it.
Every time I hear Giannis talk or just kind of how he moves in a lot of ways, not a great idea. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I remember like the first things that we heard after the Lakers traded for Dwight was like, yeah, he's like, okay. He's like, I guess kind of happy about being a Laker. He really didn't want to be. And I was like, why did we do that? What? Because back then I was kind of more of just a fan. So I did refer to the Lakers as we, and I remember like they traded for him and I was all kinds of hyped. I was like, wow, they traded for him and they didn't even have to give up power. Holy shit. Their team next year is going to be like all of this. And I was like, gosh, this is incredible. I was walking around the room that I was in. Mm-hmm. And then like the more that I heard about the trade, the less. Mm-hmm. Wait, so his back isn't quite right. Yeah. We don't think his back is going to be okay for a little while. Huh?
Wasn't that a year?
That sucked. Hopefully this wouldn't turn out that way.
No.
All right. Thank you, Pete, for hopping on. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episodes here in the lounge. Have a great rest of your weekend. It's a long one. Please be safe out there, no matter what it is that you guys are doing to celebrate this long weekend. I will be back probably Monday. Going to enjoy the weekend myself. Enjoy the basketball, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye, everyone.